Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast, but I know we were discussing the law in terms of
bottom line is we have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. These were hypocrites. And, you know, they would tell you what to do, but they themselves were not doing it. And we don't want to be that way. One of the other points that came up out of that discussion was that the law is the law, the highest standard that you can keep with the Most High. Anybody want to tackle that? As far as behavior, is the law the highest standard?
Is it the highest standard?
Yes. If you keep all of the law, are you keeping the highest standards of the Most High or the minimum standards?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the highest? Anybody else want to jump in on that?
Mm-hmm. I would think the highest also.
Okay.
Okay, about, well, I'll be the oddball. I think the minimum.
Okay.
You're supposed to love him first with all your heart and soul. That's the maximum.
Okay. Well, the truth of the matter is it is actually the minimum standard. The law is the minimum standard of the Most High. So if you keep all of the law, you are keeping his minimum standard. Shocking. We got quiet. Okay, it's his minimum standard. The lowest he wants you to act. So when we keep the law and we think that we're all that in a bag of chips, we're really just showing up for work. Okay, and we have to understand that the law is a minimum standard, and it comes with what? Penalty for breaking them, right? Okay.
But what is the maximum standard?
Love is the maximum standard. And the law pushes us and points us toward loving God, as you said, with all your heart, all your mind, with all your might, and loving your neighbor as your what?
As yourself.
And everything should be geared upon that. Now, the law tells us what's the minimum standard to do those things. But he wants you to go above the what? Minimum. We have a hard time just maintaining the what? The minimum standard. Most people can't even do the minimum.
Huh.
Okay, so you got to understand that that's what the law is designed to do. This is the minimum acceptable behavior that I will accept from you. So he says, I don't tell you how much mercy to have. There is no law to have much mercy. And there's no law to tell you how much mercy to have. There is no law to tell you how much love to have. There is no law to tell you how long to suffer. Because all of these things, the Most High says, I do them on a daily basis. I suffer with you in your inconsistencies and in your sinful nature. Even when you were yet sinners, I died for you. So you got to understand that his law is a minimum standard, not a maximum standard. You start there, and you don't transgress there. And if you can learn not to transgress in the law, then you can move on to higher levels. You can think and function at a higher level. So it's like, what's the example I can use? It's like when you're coming through school, okay? You had to learn the basics of your ABCs before you could what? Read?
Right.
And then once you started reading, then you learned basic words and you went on to more complex words. And so right. Then your basic words became what? They were just, it was just natural because you knew. And you could go on to higher things. That's the way the law is. And this is what the Most High is trying to move his people to. This is what he wants us, the mentality that he wants us to have. It should not be a great thing, or we should not think it great. that we are able to keep the law. It should, he wants it to be a natural thing for us, which we, you know, is something that we should be doing to become part of our nature, to do right. But you got to first know what's right in order to do right. And so I want, just want everybody to understand that, that the law is a minimum standard. And, it, and if you are transgressing, then you are breaking the what? Minimum standard?
The minimum.
But to break the minimum standard will cost you your life.
Your life.
Anybody have a thought on that? Have a comment?
Doing the minimum?
Yeah, about the law being the minimum standard. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's something that you should be doing, so it, I don't think it should be the max, because you're supposed to be doing it anyway.
Okay. Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise?
I think that during the, if you break the minimum and it costs your life, I don't know, I just think of it differently. That's probably the highest standard if it costs you your life. And, you know, even to do all the minimum, all of them take love.
Yeah, they all take love, but we don't, if we trans, okay. All right, I'm going to leave that where it's at. I'm going to leave that comment where it's at.
Okay.
And
my thoughts, you know.
All right, amen. And Sister Denise?
I don't have a comment at this time.
All right. I see we will have to dig into this further, but not today. I got a different agenda for today. This is something that was discussed 2 weeks ago when we were looking at the Pharisees and stuff. So I will make a note to bring this topic back up for us to go back into the law and go back into what the Most High said concerning these things. The law was never designed to make us right. A minimum standard. Keeping it makes you righteous, but he requires so much more. So we'll take a look at this in the future. Just so we know, you know, that's why he says that you can keep all of the law and it still would not be enough to justify you getting into the kingdom. Then you would think that you were doing it on your own what? Merit?
Mm-hmm.
And you were entering in on your own merit? What do I need Christ for? I keep all of the law. That's why he made it to where we were actually born in iniquity. And deny him. Anyway, that's a whole other lesson. We will jump into that another time, but I want to go into today. I wanted to go back to and actually do the Black History and not do a different lesson on this morning. So let us do our statement of faith on this morning. And we'll pray in, and then we're going to, I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to go to the Black History site, or you can pull it up on your computer. You might be easier for you to see on that. On that, let me have you ladies. I hope your heads are covered. I've been meaning to ask you, have y'all been doing that? I say it, but have you been doing it? Can't hear y'all.
I have.
Okay. What
yes,
about
sir.
You, Sister Mary?
Yes, sir.
Sister Lorraine?
Like that, yes, I have.
Okay. It's important that we actually do that. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. We just praise and worship you on this morning, Father. Show our adoration towards you, Father, and glorify your name. We lift thee up, O God, Elohim. We lift thee up and we magnify you, for you are Elohim all by yourself. And we just thank you for keeping us safe tonight, keeping our loved ones safe, Father, and being our Elohim, the one and only true Elohim, the only one there is, Father. And we just thank you on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, let us go to Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. I am blessed, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. May the Most High bless you through the reading and hearing, the understanding, and the comprehending of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, we are going to, I'm going to share my screen on this morning. And let me bring up, and that's not it. Okay, where do I have you at? Just a second, let me find this page. Too many web pages up. Not yet. Yeah, this. Okay. And move you to a separate screen by yourself. And go ahead and bring up your screen sharing. And you should see on your screen something that says like the Apocrypha. Okay.
Yep.
Everybody's there? You there also, Sister Denise? Her Sister Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm there.
All right. So let me scroll back up. Now, we are still in the, what he called the Israelite Apologist Handbook. Okay. And in this, we're going into Section 3, Inconsistency. When you're talking to people, questions that they may ask you or questions that you can ask them concerning different things in the Bible. And there's some unique outlooks on here, I guess from the lens of how you might look at this. So we're just going to go over it, some of the things. This section is designed for you to challenge the opposition with tough questions that lead them to reconsider their position as to who modern-day Israel really is and how our identity ties into biblical narrative. The majority of these questions are designed to address those of Christian faith, but as this handbook is updated, more questions will be added to address other groups. Okay, so when you are, when and if you are, or let me say it the other way, if and when you are confronting people or you're trying to tell somebody, if you say that I identify as a Hebrew Israelite, then we already know that most Christians look at that as a what? Negative. And they don't believe that we're actually the people of the book, even our own people, but especially our own people. You know, I've run across a lot of whites that know who we are, but they won't tell you that they know unless you, you know, confront them with it. But a lot of our own people don't know, and a lot of our own people don't want to know. And they are actually have groups out now that are designed to speak against us. Now, the thing is that not all Hebrew Israelites, we're not monolithic. We don't all believe the same thing. And so they will try to categorize us all, in the same group, lump us all together. And so, you know, number one, you really have to know and believe that this is you. If you don't, then you would never be able to make this, you know, you would never be able to fight this battle. And again, this should be designed, you have to be convinced first that this is who you are. You have to know that this is who you are before you could ever try to convince somebody in your family that this is who we are. Okay, so this is designed to give you the tools to make the argument against what commonly comes up. And it's typically from a Christian perspective, because most of them are Muslim. There's some of us who are into everything. Okay, so questions about the Bible. Now, when we came out of Egypt, when the Most High brought us out of Egypt, was it just Hebrew Israelites that he brought out?
No.
Okay. It was a mixed multitude. And everybody that came out was in Egypt, but that doesn't mean that they were all Egyptian either, because Egypt was a conglomeration of people as well. Egypt was an empire, and there were people who were living in Egypt, just like Jacob and the 70 that came with him, or the 60-something that came with him. They weren't originally from Egypt, right?
Right.
But they moved to Egypt to escape a famine.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there were others that did the same thing, moved to Egypt to escape famine, moved to, just like people want to come to the United States for what reason?
Escape the democracy, I mean, dictatorship.
Escape dictatorship, but really, for the most part, you got a lot of people living up under dictatorship, don't we? Throughout all the world.
Wow, that's who we is.
Kind of, but not really. We're not up under a dictatorship, but most people want to come to America, they claim for a better life.
Huh.
To have, you know, to be able to get things that they want to get, have freedom, to have liberty, things that they may not have in their own country. Okay. So ancient Egypt was much the same way. And ancient Egypt was so great that when they were conquered, nobody ever changed the name of their country. Nobody ever changed the name of their rulership. Like, if you became king of Egypt, you were what? Pharaoh?
right.
That's how great it was. They wanted that prestige of that title. That's how great that kingdom and empire was. And they were conquered more than one time. And so people were moving, you know, to Egypt. You had all kind of different races that lived in Egypt. And that can be proven from their hieroglyphics and their, you know, their stones and things, their reliefs and stuff. Now, what they don't really show you on TV, they don't show you white slaves in Egypt, but they're on their relief. Okay, that the vast majority of the slaves were white, not of color. Okay, so it's something that. Because they don't want, you know, they want to project that history a certain way that you, if you don't go looking, then you will not get the truth of Egypt. So understand that the Most High made Egypt great, and that time wise, the problem that we have with prophecy and discerning a lot of things is because older than what, even biblically, is older than what we want to traditionally think that it is. In ancient Egypt, it is known it goes back 10,000-12,000 years, which if we went by 1,000 years for a day, and this is only the sixth or the seventh day, then we would say the earth is only 6,000 or 7,000 years old. If we were using normal, well, I want to say normal, the accepted way that most Christians calculate time in the Bible. But just let me ask somebody, how long was the first day?
How long was the first day?
Yeah, the first day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the evening and the morning was the first day. How long was that day?
1,000 years.
Somebody said 1,000 years, somebody said 24 hours. There's no way to tell how long that day was. That day could have been 24 hours, it could have been 1,000 years, it could have been 1,000,000 years. We don't get introduced to the sun and the moon and the stars until what day?
Second day?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
the
fourth day. The first 3 days, you don't know how long they were. And because it says a day to God is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, you can make the assumption that it was, what, 1,000 years? But you don't really know if that's the time frame. And so when we have things on this earth that say that the earth has been here billions of years, and we want to still believe that God created the heavens and the earth, then we don't really know how long the first day was, the second day, or the third day. It's not until he gave us the sun and the moon and the stars, and he said these would be for what? Time. And for a time with. Right?
Yeah.
So there is evidence on this earth that we are not the first generation. What do I mean by that? And I was going to take us into this sometime. Today is just as good a day as any. We are not the first generation on this earth. It's not the first time that this has been done. What do you mean? Did the Most High tell, what did the Most High tell Adam and Eve? Just give me some things to think about. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1.
Replenish it.
What does replenish mean?
To restock.
Which means what? What does that implicate? What does that imply? Well, let's speak one at a time. Go ahead. You started first, Sister Mary. Go ahead and say what you said. I think that was Sister Mary.
Fill it up with other people.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Sister Lorraine? I think I heard you.
I said that to replenish it and to produce children to replenish.
Okay. What about you, Sister Denise?
I would think when they say replenish, it means like if you use some replacement, like
that's right. That means it had to be done before, right?
Right.
And re means what?
Do it over.
Do it over again. Replenish the earth. If it had, if it was the first time, what word would he have used?
Fill the earth.
He could have said fill the earth, but if he used the same word, you can still see my screen, right?
Yeah.
I mean. Okay. What does replenish mean?
Is now in the console.
Recharge, reload, top up. Fresh.
What does it say right
here?
To fill up what?
Fill up what?
Again.
To fill up something up again.
Again.
It's important. So if he was doing it the first time, if this was the first generation, then he would have just used the word what? Plenish the earth. Fill the earth. But he uses the word replenish. Now, let's go and look at, I think, Genesis chapter 9. For thought, okay? I want you to consider these things. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Did my Bible come up on your screen?
Yes.
Okay. I believe it's 9, chapter 9.
Brother Miles, that's what I want to ask you too when you get a chance. Could you show me how to load a Bible on my computer?
Yes, I can show you how to do that.
And which one?
Because
I want to know that when, like, when you type in a word, looking for a chapter, it'll come up. It all the chapters that have that word in and come up.
Yeah, this one that I use, Carson. It's not free. I have some copies of it somewhere, but they're probably out in storage. So I can't. I bought them to give them away, but I can't find them. So, but I can give you the site. You can buy it. Okay. Now, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Did the Most High just, in this, the Most High has just destroyed, flooded out the whole earth, right? Killed every living thing except for a soul. You know, every living thing that walks and breathes air. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Okay. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Sister Lorraine, if you'll read that from my view.
Genesis 9:1.
Uh-huh.
And God blessed Noah, his son, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Now, can we see that same word, what? Replenish? Okay. Now, from this standpoint, since we understood that the earth existed with life on it, prior to this, when we see the word replenish there, then in our minds we can make sense that you are what? Refilling the earth?
Right.
But when it comes to Genesis chapter 1, people have a problem with that. He uses the same word, right?
Right.
We can comprehend it, and we can accept it. Point that we understood that the world existed prior to Noah and his sons. And so he's telling Noah and his sons, go out and what? Refill the earth. And the life that's on the ark, go out and what? Refill the earth.
Right.
But when we're in Genesis chapter 1 or 2, hold on. Chapter 1, verse 28. And we're just going to go there for a minute. And this is not the object of our study. This is just to stimulate your brain to start thinking other things as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not looking at everything so much through a single filter. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, will you read that for me, Sister Mary?
And God bless you. And God bless you.
Read verses 27 and 28.
So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created him, male and female created him.
So the subject of, so in verse 28. Did he say created he them, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in verse 28, them is in relationship to male and female, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So verse 28.
And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the
Wait, if you read off my screen, there ain't no word all in there. If you're reading from my screen, you're adding words in. There is no all in that. Start in and have dominion over.
Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and
mm-hmm.
have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
So he uses the word, does he use the word replenish there?
Yes, he does not.
Okay. When we look this up in the Hebrew, we want to look at this word, replenish, a primitive root to fill, intrinsically be full of, in wide application, literally and figuratively, accomplish, confirm, consecrate, be at end, be expired, be spent, fill, fulfill, become, given, flow, fullness, furnish, gather, presume, replenish, set, space, take, full, holy. He used the same word in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. It's the same word. So when he tells Noah and his sons to do it, then there's not too much of a controversy because we know that the earth previously existed before them, right?
Right.
But when we look at it in Genesis chapter 1, then that causes some people to have some problems. Okay, now, the physical aspect of this world, If you go to most countries in this world that have had civilizations on them for a while, do you know that the deeper that you dig down into those civilizations, the more advanced the architecture and the technology is than the current day?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever seen that?
Yeah.
So how is it that in the past they could be more advanced than we are today? Okay, well, if they were so smart, what happened to them? They could still be here. They could have gone on someplace else. There's a lot of different things, and I have some different things that I could present at another time, you know, on a different level. But what I want you to understand that when we're looking at these things, I don't want us to be so rigid that things could only possibly be, what, one way? It could always be something more. Okay? Well, let's get back. So this is just to, hopefully it doesn't scare you. Hopefully it doesn't it doesn't shake your faith. Okay. There are just, we are presented certain things, a lot of things from the past, because of where it was at. It was either taken and destroyed or it was destroyed in place. And especially a lot of things that said that black people did something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, can anybody tell me why most of the statues in Egypt, what are they missing?
Their nose.
Their nose, why?
Because we have black nose.
And if you take the nose off and you can't distinguish, you know, they couldn't just take off the whole face. But Negroid nose and Negroid lips. Black people couldn't have done this, so we can't let it get out that way. So they destroyed it. The Catholic Church destroyed a lot of things because it went against their belief and their control. So I just want you to know that the earth is a lot older than what normal Christianity wants to project that it is. But to know that it's older than that does not destroy and should not destroy your standing. Because what if the Most High chooses to do this over and over and over again? Does he have the right to do that?
Yes, he does.
Sometimes we don't, you know, we want to, this is the only generation and we are the highest thing that ever was. What if we're supposed to graduate this and go on to better things? And then the Most High wipes it out and starts over. Could we live with that if that's what it was?
What choice do you have?
What choice do you have?
We
don't really have a choice in it. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people could not accept that. And I'm not saying that's what it was. I'm just saying, what if?
Right.
If the truth in the word leads you to a certain place, if it's beyond what you've ever thought, could you accept it? That's really what I'm asking. Because a lot of times people can't accept certain things because beyond what they are willing to accept. Okay, so, you know, the archaeology, there are certain things in the scriptures. There are certain things that the promises that the Most High makes in the scriptures that could be taken different ways. Well, if we look at them only from a certain perspective, then we're going to come with a certain understanding, because we're not even going to allow it to mean anything different. Okay, so now let's go back to, I just wanted to use that replenish as an example, okay? Because you have to ask yourself, who did Cain marry?
Mm-hmm.
Who did Cain marry? Remember, Cain killed Abel, right?
Right.
And then Cain was driven out. And he got married, right?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody got a conversation going on in the background. Let me see something here. Still over here. Let me zero that out. Okay. So who did Cain marry? If Adam and Eve were the first two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. We're told that Adam and Eve had, what, daughters as well? Are we told, specifically told, that Cain married one of his sisters?
I don't know. Maybe they did. Hmm.
Just things that make you go, Who did they marry? Who did Seth marry? If we believe that Adam and Eve were the first two and the only two, then we would have to come to the logical conclusion that they had to have daughters, and they married their what? Sisters? Unless Adam and Eve were the first, but they weren't the only two. Now, we may never consider that. But there are schools of thought out there that Adam and Eve weren't the only two. Matter of fact, I think the Apocrypha said Adam had another wife. What was her name? I know we've heard this before.
No, I haven't.
Adam had another wife named Lilith. According to the Apocrypha. And Lilith refused to submit to Adam. None of y'all have never heard that story?
No, I haven't.
Sister Mary, Sister Lorraine?
No.
Okay. We're just going to look at Wikipedia. I'm not going to go into the Apocrypha, but just to give you an overview. The first wife of Adam is supposedly the primordial sea demon. Now, she was reportedly turned into a demon because she refused to submit to Adam. Okay. But in the Apocrypha, the book of Adam and Eve, She was Adam's first wife before Eve. Now, that goes, that runs contrary to, or is not told about in our Bible, right?
Right.
Okay. So, just understand that there are more possibilities than just one. So, you have to ask yourself, does the Bible say who Seth married? Does the Bible say who Cain married?
No.
But we know he got married, right? Okay, so let's do this. Again, I just want to stimulate your brain to be thinking in more than one way. Now, see, we got all kind of theories out there, okay? Pre-Adamic humanity. What does that mean? Humans that existed prior to Adam. Some people think that. Some have attempted to say that Cain's wife came from a race of pre-Adamic humans who were around before Adam and Eve. The ideal of Cain marrying someone from this race creates more problems than it solves. The scriptures are clear that Adam was the first man created. Okay. So if we say humans existed prior to that, then God said that Adam was the first man he created, right? In our Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Other children, other Bible students have attempted to explain the existence of other humans apart from Cain and Abel by saying they were not necessary, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. They contend that other sons and daughters could have been born before Cain and Abel, and that the Bible is merely singling out these two for emphasis. Time not stated. Now, does the Bible ever mention any of Adam and Eve's daughters? So, we just assume that they had daughters. We were told that they had daughters in some place. I forget what scripture it is. But you still have to ask yourself, who did they marry? Cain was driven out. Did it say that he took one of his sisters with him?
No, I don't.
So we would have to make that as a what? An assumption? What does that word assumption mean? Assume?
Maybe.
Let me show you what that word means. I'm just going to show you on the screen, okay?
Okay.
Everybody see my notepad?
Yeah.
Assume. Is that how it's spelled?
Yeah.
When we assume, we make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. I didn't do that.
That's why you never assume.
Oh, that's a good one. Write this down. I gotta remember this.
You never want to assume because you're just what, guessing?
Yeah.
You don't know for sure. So we have to, and the best that we can do is assume that. But we don't know that. It is just not what? Written. Amen?
Amen.
And so to make it make sense to us, then we start filling in the blanks ourselves. But when we do that, we're assuming, and that's what happens when you assume.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, if you cannot read it, and you may not have all of the what, facts, and there could be other things that went on. We're not told who Seth married. We would assume, again, that it was one of his what? Sisters. But the Bible doesn't actually what? Come right out and say that. And in order to make it make sense, we typically assume. Okay. Just things to make you think of things in a different way. Question some things. Okay? Everything is not always black and white. When we look at the word replenish, in the beginning, we'll just say what? It meant to fill the earth. But the very use of the word, the very use of the word means that it was already filled before. And we can accept that in Genesis chapter 9 because the world existed. We know that it existed from the scriptures prior to Noah and his son. So when it says replenish right there, we can automatically just assume you're going to refill something that had already been filled before. Say it from the beginning, then all of a sudden we start having earthquakes in diverse places. So there are many things in the scriptures that if you don't look further into them or if you never look into them, then you would never question at that level because we've already accepted and assumed that there's things happen a certain way. But when we look into it deeper, then it brings up other questions. Why did he use this word there? Okay. All right, so let's go back into the handbook. Started off, we know that we came out of Egypt as a mixed multitude. Okay. And so let's go get the scripture so, you know, nobody says that we are making this up. Welcome back, Sister Denise.
Button.
You punching the wrong button?
Yeah, it was time to take the screen over, and I went out. You know, move it over.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we still see my Bible up, right?
Yeah.
We're in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. Children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. Now, the mixed multitude is not included in the 600,000. The 600,000 is only including the men of war of Israel, the men that were of warring age in Israel. It says that a mixed multitude went up what?
Also with them.
Also with them. So it's counting them as a what? Separate group?
Mm-hmm.
And flocks and herds and even very much cattle. So there were some people who our people were mixing with in Egypt. They had, you might as well say, I don't want to use the word loyal to Israel because Israel didn't exist, but they were married to and intertwined with our people. Because who did our people marry?
Syrian, Canaanite.
They married almost whoever was around. And Egypt was a multicultural society. That's why we see this mixed multitude. We had intermarried within that culture. Can everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me look up another word for us, and we'll get into this. I think it's this way. I don't know how this word is spelled. Let me look it up. I'd like to have the word in here. Hebrew light. Going up in my dictionary. Hold on. If I can find it on the web. How does this word spell? When they discriminate against certain words. Just a second, it's going to take me a minute. How else do I find this scripture? If I can find it this way. Hebrew light. I'm looking for Hebrew light. Okay, all right. So you see this in here, Leviticus chapter 24?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it calls this woman, does it call her Israelite, or does it call her Israelitess? What does that mean? Okay, the son of an Israelitess woman, whose father was a what?
Egyptian.
So her father was an Egyptian. What was her mother?
Israel.
Right. But the scriptures consider her to be, her herself, the offspring, to be what?
Israelite.
Israelite. Actually, Israelite. Things that we are taught that may not necessarily be 100% true all the time. The son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and the son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of Yah and cursed, and they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomit, the daughter of Deberi, of the tribe of Dan. Okay. So she is half Israelite and half what?
Egyptian.
She's Israelite. She's not 100% Israelite. He's not 100% what?
He dipped.
Okay. So we got to understand that this is a mixed multitude, okay? Does this show that Israel was intermarrying with other races?
Yes, it does.
That was the point of this. And anybody that they mixed with, they would be considered to be what?
Israelite.
Israelite. That's not Brother Miles' word. That is what? In the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that. And they were all considered to be what? Israel. They all became Israel. At this time, Israel does not what? Exist as a nation. It is, well, they do at this time. They have all come out and they have all taken the oath to follow the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Did you see some of these people wanting to go back to Egypt?
Yes.
But they weren't all the seed of Abraham, were they? They weren't all the seed of Jacob. Israel had intermarried. Now, we know at least with the Egyptians, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was with more than just the Egyptians. That's why it just says a mixed multitude. Can we accept that?
Yes.
Okay. So my question now to you is, has Israel as a nation ever been 100% Hebrew?
No.
So should that present a problem for some of our brothers and sisters who want to believe that it, who want to, you know, project it as being 100% Hebrew? I'm a Hebrew Israelite. From the very beginning, were there Israelites that weren't Hebrew?
From the beginning, you say?
Yeah, from the very beginning of the start of Israel, were there Israelites? Let's listen to the question. Were there Israelites that weren't Hebrew?
I think so.
Well, I want us to know. Because when we be thinking, we really saying we're not sure.
Okay, well, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I don't want to assume anything.
Right.
You don't want to assume anymore?
No.
Good. At least that stuck today. This man, this Egyptian father, Israelite. He's married to an Israelite woman. He is a citizen of Israel. That's what makes him an Israelite. What makes you an American? Are you a citizen of Russia?
No.
You're a citizen of what country?
America.
That's what makes you American, right?
Right.
Are there other Americans that don't look like you?
Yes, it is.
But they're still what?
American.
It's the same thing in Israel. And from its very inception, coming out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt a what?
Multitude.
A mixed multitude, right?
Yeah.
all of that mixed multitude became Israel. So from the very beginning, there are Israelites that are not Hebrew. Some problem?
No.
Is it a shock to some of us?
It is. It is a shock to me.
Okay. So we have been making, we could have been making some assumptions that are not what? True?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we never want to what? Because if somebody takes you to task on it, then you will look like an ass. Came out a mixed multitude. Not all of them were Hebrew. So from the very inception of Israel, not all Israelites were Hebrew. We know right here, we got a woman and her son. The son is mixed, right? And even the woman herself says that she was an Israelitish what? Woman? She's mixed. Father was an Egyptian. Her mother was an Israelite. She's Israelitish. Her father is Israelitish. He is an Egyptian Israelite. So we don't want to make the assumption that everybody in Israel was a what? Hebrew. Because that actually goes contrary to the scriptures. We don't even have to assume that. It is written. All we got to do is put two and two together. And not think in a monolithic way, because we get caught up in I'm a Hebrew Israelite, right? Isn't that what we project?
Yeah.
But everybody that was an Israelite wasn't always a Hebrew. From the very beginning, that whole multitude that came out. Now, the oldest ones didn't make it in, but their offspring did. And they weren't all Hebrew. We got an example right here. This man, this woman's son, who is an Israelitish woman, that means her son is what? Israelitish? He's a citizen of Israel. But he does something, and does the law apply to him? What did he do? He blasphemed the name of Yah. What happened to him?
He got put in war.
He got put inward?
Yeah.
Let's keep going and see what ultimately happened to him, okay?
Okay.
Verse 13, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation do what?
Stone him. Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, he did.
For doing what?
Blaspheming.
He cursed Yah. Law applied to him. He was a citizen. So we don't have to what? Assume anything?
No, not anymore.
Nothing. Okay. bottom line is, you really have to dig into and understand clearly what it is that you're, you know, somebody that knows scriptures and who is your opposition, they can really make a fool out of you. So you got to know that from the very beginning, you know, and I would tell any Hebrew, any Hebrew Israelite, any of our brothers and sisters, Israel was never founded on just Hebrews. And in the end, it's not going to be founded on just Hebrews. It's founded on those who agreed to come into covenant with the Most High. It was a mixed multitude that came into covenant with the Most High from the beginning. When you go to Revelation, it tells you that it is a mixed multitude that serve him in his temple, not just Hebrews. Maybe that's too much for us.
No, no, no. Thank
you. Okay. So now let's go back. Site, and we got about 30 minutes to put on this for right now. We'll pick it up next week at this, but again, I'm trying to get us to what? Think in a little bit more broader sense.
Right.
And to understand that what people may say and what actually is can be what? Two different things? And so we see Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. You're a Hebrew Israelite woman or a Hebrew Israelite man. And that's what we are trying to sell when we really should be selling Israel. So when you are selling this to people, you need to be coming at them with what? In spirit and in what?
Mm-hmm.
Not in spirit and assumption. Amen?
Amen.
In the identity of Israel. This is a cop-out statement that allows them to dismiss the issue. The question forces them to give you specifics from the Bible. Historical reference, Cushite, Egyptian. So let's look at this video. I don't know how long it is. And then we'll pick it up, why people were given white skin in the Bible. Now, again, in the Bible, people were given white skin because all the players in the Bible weren't white. None of them were. Only people in the Bible that were white, they were deceived. So let's watch this, and we'll pick up on this other one next week. Let me know if you can hear this.
We're going to be talking about the mixed multitude today. But before we get to that, if you want to show your support, go to patreon.com/ get stuff ahead of time. I'll just say, patrons know about a lot of stuff long before everybody else does. So if you guys want to be the first to know about whatever's coming up, go to patreon.com/ Dante Fortune. If you want to support via Cash App, you can do so with hashtag BHITB. The PayPal link is on the main page of our YouTube channel. You can support in the Super Chat when we're live. And, of course, if you want to support with cryptocurrency, the wallet addresses are in the description as well. All right, so today's episode is brought to you by Undeniable, full-color evidence of Black Israelites in the Bible. If you don't want to debate with people, just show them history. Show them the visual history. It's hard to debate with the visual history. And the Black Hebrew Awakening, the final 400 years of slaves in America. Find out why it is we believe that we are Israelites. Look at the full history, the stuff that the other people are not telling you. There's a lot of history out there that they don't want you to know about, so they make blanket statements true. So check the book out, and you'll get a good grasp on why it is we believe what we believe about who we are. All right. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. Make sure you hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. And if you have, make sure you click the notification bell so you don't miss any notifications. And finally, please share this video. All right. For those that don't know what Go Ask a Christian is, it is based off of another series I do called Go Ask Your Pastor, where I encourage you to do things that may get you kicked out of your church. Several people have told me that these questions did get them kicked out of church. These may make you lose Christian friends if you have any. We just kind of have fun with some of the stuff that they believe because it doesn't make sense if you're reading the book. Some of the stuff just doesn't make sense. If you read the book and you believe the words of the book, why doesn't the doctrine match what's being taught in the book? So these questions are questions that a lot of us have. So we're going to talk about the mixed multitude. So whenever we talk about, and when I say we, I'm talking about black people. Whenever a black person says that we are Israelites, one of the things that gets brought up is that Israel came out of Egypt a mixed multitude. And so they use this as a means of saying, well, Israel can look like anybody. How is it that Israel are the only group of people on earth that can just look like anybody? If a dark black man walks up to you and says, hey, I'm Italian, most people are going to say, no, you're not. Or if he says, I'm Eastern European, most people are going to say, no, you're not, based solely on skin color. We'll come back to them saying we make it about skin color, but it's really them that make it about skin color, because how else can they identify who's Israel and who's not if they keep claiming that Israel is a mixed multitude? So that's not even one of the questions. All right, so let's read Exodus 12, verses 37 to 38. And this is the verse that they try to use to shut down any claims of black people saying we're Israelites, but they don't do the same to the other people who make those claims. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. All right, so we see that the Exodus, 600 men, besides children. So they're not counting the children or the women. So there's at least 600,000 men. 70 people went into Egypt. And we see over 600,000, probably closer to a million or more, coming out. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. And so this is what they used to make the claim that the mixed multitude was all kind of people. So Israel was a mixed multitude. And they will tell you this. Israel was a mixed multitude. Israel was a mixed multitude. That's not what the Bible says. It says a mixed multitude went with Israel. And I'm going to show you guys something else in the Bible that proves the point I'm about to make. Israel did not look like the rest of the mixed multitude. And again, I'm going to show you in Scripture where we know for a fact Israel and the mixed multitude did not look alike. There was some kind of difference that people could tell them apart. Now, I want to point out this picture right here, Illustrated Children's Bible. Here we see white Jesus. Two of them have blonde hair. One of them has black hair. Jesus has, like, dirty blondish hair. And blue eyes, actually. I don't know how close you guys can look on the screen, but he does have blue eyes. So he's blonde hair, blue eyes Jesus, right? This doesn't look like a mixed multitude to me. In fact, this looks like a European man to me. He doesn't look mixed with anything. He doesn't look like he came up out of Africa, which is where Egypt is. He looks like he came straight out of Europe. And then he's holding the Ten Commandments. Why is he holding the Ten Commandments? I thought the law was done away with. But that's a subject for another time, the law being done away with. But anyway, this is what kids are being presented with, the Illustrated Children's Bible. Now, this is an older version of it. But we know this imagery has been used over and over and over again and pushed to children over and over and over again. And yet, I never once. I was a member of multiple black Christian churches because we moved around when I was a kid. Multiple black Christian churches. Never once Did I ever hear them mention the mixed multitude when it came to pictures of white Jesus? I went to a Christian school for 3 years, predominantly European Christian school. I think it was me and maybe three other black kids in the class, and maybe, I don't know, 20 to 30 black kids in the whole school. Never once did I hear anything about a mixed multitude. We were seeing pictures of white Jesus and white Israelites and white Egyptians and all this stuff we see in the children's books we were given, because it was fourth to sixth grade. We didn't hear anything about a mixed multitude. We were never once taught that they came up out of Africa, because they say Egypt, but they won't tell you that Egypt is in Africa when you're younger and you start getting older and you start to realize some things like, wait, something doesn't make sense. These Europeans didn't come out of Africa. And if they did, why do they always tell black people to go back to Africa? So now I want to show you where Egypt is. Those who do not know. Now, when I say those who do not know, I'm absolutely not kidding. A few years back on Facebook, I'm going to actually go see if I can find the post one of these days. But I mentioned to a guy that Egypt was in Africa, and he goes, no, it wasn't the last time I checked. And I was like, well, when was the last time you checked? Like, Egypt didn't go anywhere. Egypt is in Africa. And so Africa, this is important. They will tell you black people are from Africa. That's why they call you African American. Until you want to start talking about Egypt, and suddenly, oh, no, no, it was a mixed multitude, and these people weren't black. Why? Because we know Israelites look like Egyptians according to the Bible, and Egyptians look like Israelites according to the Bible. Moses was mistaken for an Egyptian. Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian.
Yeah.
And Paul hadn't even spoke yet. The guy just assumed Paul was an Egyptian. Why is that? Was Paul walking around dressed like an Egyptian? If you say yes, then that doesn't make sense. Paul was a Roman citizen. Why would a Roman citizen, an Israelite Roman citizen, be walking around dressed like an Egyptian to be mistaken for an Egyptian? That's the same story they told us with Moses. Moses was dressed like an Egyptian, so they couldn't tell him apart. Charlton Heston was dressed like an Egyptian, and I know he's not an Egyptian. Some of you guys need to just really start processing some of this stuff for those of you on the fence. Just process some of the stuff that they say to you that doesn't make sense. So now I got this map right here. This is an older map. It's been around for a while. I didn't make this map. This map has been on the internet for a long time, and it shows color-coded where Hamites settled and where Semites settled. So Sem is in green, Ham is in red. Now notice where Ham settles. So Ham settles all up in here, some of down here, all up in here, wrapped around up in here. Why does it show like this? Because the Bible tells us that Nimrod founded all of this over here. These were Cushite settlements all up and through here. This is a Canaanite settlement, and Cush was down in here as well. So you have Cushite. You guys know the one guy always said he a Cushite, right? So Cushites are all up in and through the Middle East, Canaanites. Now, didn't the European churches teach us that black people come from Ham? Why do you have black Christians claiming that they're Cushites? Because Cushites come from Ham, and we're told that black people come from Ham. So how is it that black people, Hamites, black people, according to them, Hamites settled all up in and through here? But there's no possible way that Israelites, same skin color as Hamites, they want you to believe this. They want you to believe that they look more post-Greek, Roman, and Arab invasion, light-skinned Middle Eastern. And then they want us to believe that Hamites are black and that Hamites mixed with Israelites according to the Bible, but somehow that Israelites maintain their light-colored skin and didn't get darker. This is what they tell us. It doesn't make sense. If y'all are having a hard time processing that, trust me, it doesn't make sense. This is why you're having a hard time processing. None of it makes sense. So we know Hamites, a.k.a. black people. Now, Hamites are black too, just like Israelites, but we know the difference. They have a hard time telling the difference. We know the difference between us and them. We can see the difference. We know when we're talking to an African versus a Jamaican. We know that Jamaicans are who we are. for those of us who are not Jamaican. But we know there's a slight difference between us and Africans. And when I say Africans, let me be more specific, Hamites. I'm not talking about all people from the continent of Africa, because that's really what African means, that you're on that continent. You're from that continent. You're resident to that continent. You don't necessarily have to be from the same ethnic groups to be African. So I hope that's very clear what I'm saying. Hamite, we can tell the difference between Hamite and Israelite. I'll say it like that. See them all up and through here, all the areas right here. We're going to talk about Abraham. Because remember, Abraham came out of Cushite territory, went over into Canaanite territory, up into Egyptian territory, and then he went south before he came back over here to Canaan. So Abraham, and we'll come back to Abraham. I'm not even going to get sidetracked with that. Let's keep talking about this mixed multitude. So now, when they bring up the mixed multitude, what they don't bring up is in Nehemiah, the mixed multitude was separated from Israel. So how is it they use the Exodus example, which is further away, to say, well, Israel was a mixed multitude, but they don't mention the Nehemiah episode, which is closer in history. They don't mention Nehemiah at all, where he separates the multitude. So I'm going to read it right here. This is Nehemiah 13:1-3. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. So they're reading from the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of God forever. There's that word again. If you guys missed that last one I did on the word forever, this means always. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam, or Balaam, against them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Several things come out of here. These people were banned from entering the congregation of God because they did not greet Israel with bread and water. You guys go back and read the story in the book of Numbers. They did not greet Israel favorably. I think it's Numbers 22 off the top of my head. They did not greet Israel favorably. Instead, they tried to have Israel cursed. Look at how the Christians behave towards Israelites today. Are they hospitable, or do they act like complete scumbags? All of us have had our experience with them. Now, this is a question for Israelites to ask themselves. Do they greet you favorably, or do they act like scumbags and accuse you falsely and make assumptions and, you know, treat you differently than they treat other people who don't look like us? They either do one or the other. And we've seen what they think is funny. Remember, parody. They call a parody a white guy pretending to be a black guy, calling black people coons, which is just modern-day blackface as far as I'm concerned. They think that's funny. That's why they call it parody. And yet we don't see any videos of them dressing like Ashkenazis and using racial slurs towards them and calling it parody. Why not? If it's funny, it's funny, right? Why not do that with every race or culture? But they only do it to black people. So now here's the question for you guys. How could people tell the difference between Israelites and the mixed multitude? Because when we bring up that Israelites are black, they say, no, Israelites are mixed multitude, so anybody could be Israelite. Yet we just read Nehemiah, they separated the mixed real. So how could they tell the difference between Israelites and the mixed multitude? Was it skin color? And if it wasn't skin color, what was it? So what did the mixed multitude look like if they didn't look like Israelites? How could people tell the difference? How could they say you're Israelite and you're part of the mixed multitude? Did they go up and personally interview them about their doctrine? Or did they use some other means? Now, when they use that mixed multitude stuff from the Exodus, and then we get to Nehemiah and find out they're separated, the third question comes up. Did Israelites remain separate, or did they become a mixed multitude again? And if they did become a mixed multitude again, can you point us to your historical source for that conclusion? There's a lot of questions that they don't want to answer because they don't want black people to be Israel, because they know that what they've done is pure evil and prophesied in the Bible, and they don't want to be the people that the Bible was talking about that did Israel wrong. And then you have a lot of black people who have been to believe that they were chosen by God, and it must be somebody else, because their whole life they grew up being lied to and told that, no, you're under the curse of Ham, instead of being told that, no, you're under the Deuteronomy 28 curse. There's two slavery curses there, Deuteronomy 28 and then the curse of Canaan, not Ham, but they were told it's the curse of Ham. But no, it's the Deuteronomy 28 curse. And if for those of you who don't know what the word forever mean, please go back and watch that. And finally, do you bring up the mixed multitude when Ashkenazi claim to be the people of the book, or do you only bring it up when black people make the claim? Because again, I've been around church people my whole life. I'm still around people that go to church. Never once have I ever heard them approach Jews for Jesus or any Messianic Jews, Ashkenazi Jews. Never once have I ever heard them approach those people and tell them, no, Israel is a mixed multitude. You can't claim to be Israel. Never once have I ever told them, say, Israel came out of Egypt with a mixed multitude. Egypt came up out of Africa, so you can't be Egyptian or you can't be Israelite if you don't look Egyptian. These people don't look Egyptian. Yet in the Bible, we see that Moses, and thousands of years later, Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian. We know the Egyptians didn't look like these people in Africa. These people are not the people of the book. I don't care what nobody says. These people are not the people of the book. It just is not true. It's just not. And people can feel how they want to, whatever. We know what the Bible says in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. Read it for yourself. So, go ask a Christian some of these questions. See if they have answers. See if they give you some answers. Often, though, you will get five cop-outs, five common cop-outs as to why they don't want to or can't answer your question. See, a cult will try to make it look like it's something wrong with you for you even asking the question. See, they behave like a cult because you're not allowed to question their doctrines. They want to ask you 5,000 questions, but they don't want to answer any questions. Go back and watch some of the discussions I had with Alton when I asked them to define the word forever. Look how silent they get. It's not about that. This is one of the cop-outs that they use. It's not about that. Yes, it is in the book. The book says they came out with a mixed multitude, not they were a mixed multitude. And the book also says the mixed multitude was separated. So, yes, it is about that if those questions are being brought up, because it's in the book. It's not about skin color. Well, then tell me how they separated the mixed multitude from Israel. Give me an explanation that makes sense about how they separated Israel from the mixed multitude if they did not use skin color. That shouldn't be our focus. Yes, it should. It's in that book. And if the book is the word of God, God knows more than you know. So I'm going to look at what God said, and I'm going to study that, and I'm going to ask questions about that and learn about that. That should definitely be our focus, understanding the word of God. You're putting culture over Christ. No, I'm not. I'm reading something straight out the book, and I'm asking a question about something straight out the book. Yeah. That's not putting culture over Christ at all. We're not the ones throwing parades to celebrate our culture, like St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving. That's billions of dollars spent every year celebrating European culture, but they don't call that putting culture over Christ. But when we start talking about it, we just say it, and it's, oh, you guys are worshiping skin. Silly stuff, cult-like behavior. You're being carnal and serving the flesh. Nope. Asking questions about the Bible is not carnal. It is not serving the flesh. Do not let these cult people guilt you into believing there's something wrong with you for asking questions. Understand that they are a cult, and a cult will always demonize the people who question their doctrine. This is what they do. So make sure you guys don't let them cop out. Ask your questions. If you think of other questions, feel free to ask those. So, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. And please make sure you share this video. So, I always like this clip right here. So, until next time, I'm out.
All right. That's just opinion. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
Talk.
Huh. Well,
somebody got something going on in the background. Hold on a minute. All right. Talk.
Well, you know, when I was in the church, they didn't really talk about the mixed mouth.
They never bring that up.
No.
It's not,
a lot that I'm learning now, I have learned since I left church.
Right.
Okay.
Same here.
What about specifically what he was saying? Because I have some problem with what he was saying also.
About, I was just thinking, like when he said, okay, it was the multitude that came out, but it wasn't me. I understand that.
He had control over, the Most I knew who was Israel and who was part of the mixed multitude. As it says, and a mixed multitude came out also, okay?
Right.
So, but the question is, did the Most High only make the sons of Jacob Israel? Children of Israel and the nation of Israel are two different things. Can we understand that? So let me say that again. The children of Israel and the nation of Israel is two different things.
Find that.
To be a child of Israel, you had to be a descendant of who? Israel. Whose name was changed to Israel?
Jacob.
So you had to be a child of Israel, you had to be a descendant of Jacob. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
But to be a citizen of Israel, you didn't have to be a descendant of Jacob. Two separate things. So my challenge for any of you, my challenge is this. Show me in the scripture, because he used Nehemiah, right? And he said, how did they separate the mixed multitude in Nehemiah? What standard did they use? Right?
They read the law.
Okay. And they read the law. The law didn't tell them who Israel was. So how did they distinguish?
I think that if not one to keep the law is what separated them.
Okay. Are we assuming?
No.
So you know that for a fact.
Well, he said when he stood up and he read the book of Moses, that the Amorites and the Moabites did not come into the congregation. So I'm just saying that they seemed like they didn't want to keep the law.
Well, then, children of Israel?
Yeah.
Yes, it could.
Okay. So could that be what they used if they said, if you're not keeping the law, then you got to go? And would that just include the mixed multitude if we use that standard?
Hmm.
That's what I say. You can't just take everything on what? Face value?
Right. You got to read.
You got to read and you got to dig into it. So that's one question, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna dig into that question. Now, same question. show me anywhere with the original congregation that came out of Egypt, Israel and the mixed multitude, where the Most High separated the mixed multitude from Egypt, from Israel, and did not make them part of the nation. That's the second question. We have to, if that's the case, then the Most High should have separated the mixed multitude out and not made them Israel, right?
Right.
And do we think that would have been recorded?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to find where the Most High took the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt, separated them from Israel, and did not make them part of the nation. Tribes, two tribes that the Most High distinguished out of Israel. Which two tribes were those?
The Moabites and the Amorites.
Those aren't Israelites.
Huh?
Those weren't Israelites. They weren't part of the children of Israel. There's only two tribes that he distinguished out of the tribes of Israel. That he made distinction. What two tribes are those?
I want to say Dan, I don't know why I want to say that.
I don't either, but you said it.
I don't know why I want to say that. I'm just trying to ask a question, I guess.
Amen. But I don't know is always a good answer too, right?
Okay.
Okay. In order to be part of the priesthood, what tribe did you have to be born into?
Levi.
Levi to be part of the priesthood. Okay. And in order to be part of the kingship, what tribe did you have to be born into?
Judah.
Does he make distinction between any of the other tribes, of the other tribes?
No.
Between any of the other tribes.
Okay, there was.
Okay, now we see in Leviticus chapter, where were we at with the Hebrew, the Hebrewitish woman, the Israelitish woman?
24.
Is Israel now a nation in Leviticus 24?
I don't think so.
Why don't you think so?
You always open my big mouth.
If you open it, I'm going to, you know, I'm glad you do open it because, but, you know, I'm going to challenge you if you do.
Ask that question again, please.
In Leviticus chapter 24.
Mm-hmm.
Is Israel already a nation? Anybody else believe that they're a nation?
I'm going to ask her why she said yes.
I am going to ask her why she said yes.
Oh, okay.
The question is out there, Sister Denise. Why?
Because he commanded Moses to tell them something.
Has the Most High already given them his laws?
Yes.
What about with you, Sister Mary?
Yes.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 19.
Ooh, I'm glad Sister Denise in trouble with me.
I don't mind being in trouble. I like that. That's the only way I can learn.
I'd rather be in trouble and get it right.
Now, I want us to, actually, I want us to and I think I will make this homework, okay?
Okay.
One part of this. I want you to find the scriptures where the Most High separated the mixed multitude from Israel and said, you're not going to be part of the nation.
Okay. Can you repeat that again, please?
I want you to find it. I want you to find it.
No, so I can write it.
I'm going to say it real slow.
Okay.
Okay, let me bring up my cam so I can use sign language, too.
That might help, too.
Let me stop. The question is, we need to find proof that the Most High separated the mixed multitude from the children of Israel and said they would not be part of the nation, not part of the children of Israel, because the children of Israel had to be what, blood descendants?
Right.
Of Jacob? But that he separated the mixed multitude and did not make them Israel. Go to Exodus 19. Well, let me see. Let me do this from a different perspective. I think Joshua chapter 1. Let me find a verse in Joshua chapter 1 first. And I think what distinguishes, this is what made those people who had tied themselves to Israel, to the Hebrew in Egypt, they were following the customs of the Israelites, okay? So let's go to Joshua chapter 5. And it should be on your screen. Everybody see Joshua chapter 5 on their screen?
Uh-huh.
Let's read this. It came to pass when all of the king of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that Yah had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was the spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time, Yah said unto Joshua, make thee a sharp knife, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised. Now, what was one of the requirements that in order to be a child, a Hebrew Israelite, what was the requirement for all the males?
Yeah, circumcised.
Okay. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of Foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. All the people that came out were what?
Circumcised.
But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came out forth out of Egypt, them they had not.
No, they were not circumcised.
For the children of Israel walked 40 years. Did just the children of Israel walk in the wilderness?
No.
Do you think the mixed multitude walk with them?
Yes.
Okay. So all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware that he... Now, do you think that the Most High only killed Hebrew Israelites that disobeyed? And did we just read that a Israelitish woman's son got put to death for cursing Yah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they obeyed not the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware that he would not show them the land, which Yah sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people. Now, according to the Abrahamic law, not the law of Moses, because by the law of Moses, if you wanted to come close and keep the Passover and keep any of these things, you had to be what?
Circumcised.
Okay. Now, 40 years they walked in the wilderness, they didn't circumcise anybody. Hebrew or mixed multitude. And for those 40 years, guess what? They didn't keep the Passover either. Is it a law that you are circumcised to keep the Passover?
Yeah.
But they didn't keep the Passover for 40 years. Because they were in transgression. This was not just Israel. They have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of this place was called Gilgal unto that day. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 19. It only mentions the mixed multitude how many times?
Twice.
In Exodus, how many times does it mention it?
Oh, Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it only mentions it twice in Scripture, period. Learn how to spell Miles. We have it in Exodus chapter 12 and Nehemiah 13. Okay. Everywhere from this point on, it just mentions that whole entire group as the children of Israel. Calls them this.
The congregation of the children of Israel.
That's what that whole multitude is called.
Okay.
When the Most High wants to make distinction, he mentions them by what? Tribe. Mm-hmm. But then we got, who do you think, where did the people who were of mixed multitude, Where did they go?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So the mixed multitude wasn't murmuring against Moses. The mixed multitude didn't rebel against the Most High. It was only the children of Israel, right?
They did too.
Yeah. Well, see, we're not people are saying some things that would actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because this congregation cannot be just what? Hebrew Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why your assignment is find the scriptures where the Most High said that the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel never became part of Israel. When they got to Mount Sinai, let me ask this question. By the time that they got to Mount Sinai, God made his covenant with Israel, and he separated the mixed multitude out.
Yeah.
Had he?
Yeah.
Somebody will have to show me that in scripture. Can't be part of the nation.
Oh, I ain't saying that.
Now you say that. Now you sounding like me. Get up, brother, now.
I mean, we can't make assumptions, okay?
Okay.
Is that part of the homework?
Yeah, that is the homework. Show me where the Most High said that the mixed multitude could not be part of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And if he included the mixed multitude as strangers, okay? If he included the mixed multitude, and we're gonna play devil's advocate here, okay? Because you're not gonna find where he said that the mixed multitude is not part of Israel. But let's say that he included the mixed multitude as part of the stranger, okay? That's a what if. Did he make provision for the stranger to join Israel?
Yes, he did.
So they would still be what?
They would still be mixed and not true.
No.
What?
They'd be Israel.
They'd be Israel.
Ah, okay.
So we're going to go to Exodus 19, okay? Because the mixed multitude is still among Israel. The congregation of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 19. You're there in Exodus chapter 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seven. And that's just the congregation. Okay. So let's go to Exodus 19. We're running a little bit long here. Everybody with me in Exodus 19?
Yes.
Yes.
In the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness and there Israel camped before Mount Sinai. Now, it's just referencing all the people as what? Israel?
Right.
Because if we assume that this is just the children of Israel, then we left the mixed multitude somewhere. You know, y'all stay here. Y'all can't come with us. What your assignment is to find out where this, if we left the mixed multitude, if the Most High separated them out,
mm-hmm.
we had to leave them somewhere.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you you're not going to find that. Okay, but you need to make a good stab at it.
find it.
You're not gonna find it, but I want you to make a good, I want you to confirm. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Confirm whether it is there or not. Because he did, even in his argument, you know, it is a full representation of the argument, okay? And so you can't go to Nehemiah and say, okay, here he separated out the mixed multitude. But then now you got to find him doing the same thing when they came out of what? Egypt?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they're at Mount Sinai. And for everything that we know, the mixed multitude is still with them, okay? Because the mixed multitude is with them in Leviticus. Do we have the Israelitish woman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our proof right there that the mixed multitude is still with them in Leviticus, okay? Verse 3, and Moses went up unto Elohim, and Elohim called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now, this is specifically to the children of Israel. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of who? And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. And all the people answered and said, all that Yah has spoken we will do, and return the words of the people unto Yah. So the people agreed to enter into the what? Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they became a nation, okay? Now, we're going to assume he said this specifically to the children of Israel, right?
Uh-huh.
He said, speak unto the children of Israel. Okay, now, again, learn how to film. Now, this is before they ever enter into the covenant. Okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And I'm using this as a what if, okay? This is concerning the Passover. Now, do you think, let me ask this question and we'll move on real quick. Do you think the Egyptians that came out, the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel, do you think they kept the first Passover?
Yeah, I think they did.
When they were in Egypt, the Most High says, cover your doorpost with this blood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there were some people, some Egyptians that did it?
Yes.
Huh.
Just asking. Just, do you think they did or not? Okay. Just start him in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, okay? Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430th years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. Was it just Hebrews that left?
No.
We know that a mixed multitude went with them, right?
Right.
Okay. It is a night to to be much observed unto Yah for to bring them out from the land of Egypt. That it this is that night of Yah to be observed by all the children of Israel in their generation. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. Do you think an Israelite is, a Hebrew Israelite is woman bought an Egyptian man as a slave? I'm just asking the question. We have in Leviticus a woman who is the offspring of an Egyptian father and an Israelite woman, right? An Israelite woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she owned her husband? No, she didn't. Okay. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Now, they have already left Egypt, right?
Right.
They are in the wilderness. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Now, we're going to assume that the mixed multitude is considered to be a stranger, okay?
Uh-huh.
Just making an assumption. We're not supposed to do that. But we're going to assume it for a minute. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be what? And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is what?
Born.
For no uncircumcised person shall be there. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. The same law applies to him that is living among you, that Egyptian father, that's married to that Israelite woman. If he was a stranger, then he would have to be what?
Circumcised.
Okay. Then all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now, if you left Egypt with this Israelite woman, do you think that this man loved this woman and wanted to be with her?
Yeah.
He chose her over his own what? People?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's going to do what it takes to be part of the nation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their army. Okay. So he has already given them the law concerning what? The Passover? And telling them that if any stranger wanted to take part, they had to be what? And they had to become a member of the nation. They also had to agree to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They were part of the covenant when Israel became a nation. The only two tribes the Most High made distinction in Israel was Judah and Levi. You had to be born into those tribes to do those duties. And if you were bought with money into the tribe of Levi, then and you were bought by the house of Aaron, then you could eat the showbread. But if you were just a visitor, you could not. You had to actually belong to that house. Could all of the tribe of Levi eat the showbread?
No, just Aaron and his son.
Right. And anybody that they bought. If you were a daughter of Aaron and you got married, could you continue to eat showbread?
No.
If you got married outside of the family, that lineage.
No.
If you got divorced and you didn't have nobody else to take care of you and you came back into your father's house, could you eat the showbread?
No.
No, yes, you could.
You could?
You could.
Yeah, because you're back in your father's house.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
So there was distinctions made only between those two tribes. Nothing preventing you from marrying into any of the other tribes. You could marry even into the Levitical tribe, and there was just certain duties you couldn't do. Okay? Those are the only two tribes. All the other tribes you could be a member of, there was no restriction placed on you. Was the Egyptian man, what tribe had he married into?
Israel.
It wasn't a trick question. What tribe did he marry into? Go to Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 11.
Dan, I think.
Dan. But let's read.
24 and what?
Leviticus 24 and 11.
Okay.
Dan. He married into that family, okay? All right, so your assignment is, if you can find it, find where the Most High separated out the mixed multitude, okay? That they could not be part of the nation of Israel.
Okay.
And then we want to go to Nehemiah, and we want to know how they distinguish. We don't want to guess. We don't want to assume. How did they distinguish the mixed multitude in Nehemiah? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because he asked a valid question, but I think he's using skin color only. But I think that if you're marrying women who are from other cultures, do you think they're going to have different ways than yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Could they still be the same color as you and still have a different culture?
Yeah.
Just food for thought.
Yeah.
Just food for thought. Okay. Can't always just base this on what? Skin color?
Or assumption.
Okay. And I've told you already, we will use sites, but we always what? Verify?
Verify. Yeah,
we'll always go back and look in. We don't take anything for what?
Granted.
For granted. I don't care who says it. If I say it, don't take it for granted. Caught up in our own what? Cause?
Yeah.
And as I told you, I don't care. I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. Okay, so and then we will come back to this next week with your answers, what you found. Okay, I'm going to add a second part to that question for Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, the question, I'll see if you pick up on it yourself, but how did they distinguish? And who do you think that they separated themselves from? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. With that being said, Sister Denise, would you pray us out?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for allowing Brother Miles to teach us as he has endured so wonderfully, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
In Yeshua's name, amen. To Yah be the glory.
Yes.
I don't want any credit. To Yah be the glory. All right, amen. So we will meet again on next Sunday. We will, you know, as I said, we want to, your homework is to find out, did the Most High separate the mixed multitude that he brought out of Egypt into the wilderness? And number two, what standard or what method did they use to separate the mixed multitude in Nehemiah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the brother, he sort of projected that it was what, skin color? Let's see if that was the case. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. Cannot love you like the Most High loves you, though. Shalom, saints. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments.
Amen. Shalom, Brother Miles.
Peace and blessings. Oh, I can't play the same song today.
sometimes get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra God, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Both of you too as well. Have a great day. Be blessed.
Thank you. Thank you.